welcome back, friends. So, some practical, Sarah and I, we always like to have a measure of practical suggestions in these, and not just strictly a speculative type conversation. And so, love languages, the five love languages proposed by Gary Chapman, goes into different types of gifts. And of course, in the show notes, you can go for further. He has, of course, a book, and it's a cottage industry. But the key points here. So the concept of a love language shows couples in general, but this concept is very applicable to children or friends or whatever, in giving gifts, in giving gifts that have a resemblance to how the Father gives a gift to us through the Son. So an example of words of affirmation, that would be a love language, and this tends to be where one partner, one of the people, compliments or thanks the other, words of affirmation. Or those who prefer the quality time, those are people who really just enjoy that fellowship of being together. So the five love language, words of affirmation, saying supportive things to your partner, acts of service, doing helpful things, receiving gifts, giving gifts and telling them you were thinking about them, quality time, spending meaningful time with the other, and physical touch, being close to and caressed by the other. And I don't know, when I receive gifts, for me, that item I find is more of an enjoyable reminder of the individual in the moment that engendered it. Right. More so than the item itself. And so I'm going to just use a prop here. So in our show I always have this mug. And this mug reminds me of a beautiful young lady that I got at a museum store. In terms of cost, it's not much, but it is the joy of that memory that this item brings to me. So those are some ways to think about how to give gifts. And I like the fact that it takes some time and some self-reflection to really realize how do I like gifts. And it doesn't mean, of course, that you only like one and not the other, and they could come in bunches, you know, and you can get into the details of all of that. But there are broad strokes, ways we like, you know, to know and express. And so once we enter into the gift giving season, that can be a way. I know sometimes when we do family gifts, you know, someone quite often offers, you know, I'll come over and help you with the lawn mowing or whatever. That'd be your acts of service there, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking as I was just kind of jotting down some notes where you had been talking about, you know, God in the last little episode. So, first of all, how does God choose his gifts, right? You know, and the gift that he gave was to him the most precious, right? And the most unique possession that he owned. But not only that, and I do think that this is kind of a fundamental element of gift giving, is that even with those things that you're talking about with Gary Chapman and the love languages, is that one of the most important elements of being able to enter into that is to know the recipient, right? Our Lord knew us with a deep profundity. Right. He created us from all time, from the very beginning. He knew exactly what we were going to need. And the thing that is really incredible about God is that he knew that every single one of us was going to need to be saved by someone who loved each one of us in the particular, right? I mean, so only one person had to be able to save all of us so that we would all know that we were of equal value. And it could be only be his only son because of our Lord sent, you know, like, I mean, you just think about the great battles in the older, the great, you know, novels and stories of yore where, you know, you have two sons, right? One's a good son and the other's a bad son, right? I mean, so what if the bad son is the one who died for you, right? No, I mean, you could not have that confusion, right? So just to tie up what I'm trying to say with a little bow, right? That to be an effective gift giver, you have to know and love the recipient. It probably is the single most important element in giving an authentic gift, right? I mean, if there's no love, there's no gift, right? There, and because really each individual gift that is given, when it is given in love, is a piece of the heart. And I think that some of us don't really want to enter into that deep or that profound of a relationship with someone because you look at God when he gave that gift, how much of humanity has rejected it, right? I mean, and so there's a vulnerability that is in the position of the gift giver, right? Have I chosen, even if you spend all of your time and you know that you have given exactly the gift that is needed, you cannot be confirmed that the person is going to receive that gift in the spirit that you gave it. And it's that element. Maybe that goes back to what you were talking about before, Karen, at the very beginning, where we were talking about the fact that giving a gift can give a good feeling at the end, right? It's true that it can, but it doesn't always have to. That's right. And I think that maybe that was the thing that was kind of like sitting in my thought a little bit, right? Because the presumption there is that the person to whom you give the gift will receive it with joy.
That's right.
There are many times when you give a gift that falls like a clunker.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
You had the best of intentions. So I'm sorry, I'm just kind of like, you know, muddying the waters here a little bit, I think, for the sake of hashing that out a bit.
And I think, if you will, that's perhaps a measure of how much detachment we have when we give the gift. Right, and how much expectation we were wanting to have. We just recently gave a gift to a young man. He just moved into an apartment. The young people are young people to me. To those watching this, they may be your age. The young adults are all into air fryers. Everybody's got an air fryer. I don't have an air fryer, but I'm an old person. I'm not saying old people don't have air fryers. I know that they do. So I thought that's a great gift. And that went and forgot it and so forth, so on. Well, it doesn't fit in the apartment. It's too big.
Right?
Not even on a cart. And so the young person needed a gift for a wedding that he had gone to. And he self-admits that he's a terrible gift giver, but he was delighted to have the gift. Now, I'm not trying to blow my own horn. Believe you me, I am not. But when he said he was able to give it and use it, I was delighted. Yeah. And it wasn't the mission, right? And it was a nice gift. I said, well, they're going to, because he just recently got a job, they're going to think you really got a big raise for that gift.
But, because you don't give gifts by half.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But that's true. I think that there's something there, though, right? Like there's this reciprocity that has to be included in any conversation about gift giving, right? There has to be an element where God knew, because you had said before, let me see if I can remember exactly how you said it. We've lost the measure, right? We've lost the measure. So how then can we for ourselves restore that measure? How do we make ourselves more like God and Christ and the Holy Spirit when we are giving gifts? How do we do that, right? And I think that one of the ways is to know the person to whom you are giving the gift, to know what they love, to know what they need, to know the things that would bring them joy, right? And then to the best of your means, you know, and to fill them, right, insofar as you're able. But I think that the counterweight of that is what you just said now, is once you have made the decision to give the gift, now you don't have any control of how it is used, how it's enjoyed, how any of those things, because the gift has to be given freely with no strings attached, so that the person to whom it's been given has absolute autonomy to receive the gift in the way that is going to best assist them, right? We can invest our heart in our gift giving, but we may not invest our ego.
That's correct. Exactly right. Well, friends, I thought this was going to be our last episode, but you know how we are. So there is one more, but it should be short. All right. Till then, my friends, fides serratio.